Amen. 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 21 days of prayer. The King's Agenda Guide will be starting next Sunday. We'll have a kickoff event during the Sunday service. And we really encourage you to pick up your copy of the King's Agenda today. We have a good copy there. Or if you're watching today, I encourage you to come by during the week to pick it up. If not, you can go to our Facebook page and our weekly email, and you can find other ways to get a copy of the prayer guide. So, if I can ask you now to open up to Hebrews chapter 6, we're looking at verses 1 to 8. Some of the toughest verses in the entire Bible, some of the scariest verses in the entire Bible. And it's going to begin with a therefore. So it's always important to look at and answer the question, why the therefore is therefore? And so I want to remind you in chapter 5, the author of Hebrews entered into some pretty deep teaching about Jesus' high priest and this character called Melchizedek from the Old Testament. And he was getting into it, and then we get to verse 11, and he kind of calls it off. He says, stop, stop, stop. I'd like to go further, but you people are slow to learn. Slow to learn. And he talks about, gives us some truth about stagnation and regression. He tells them, you should be teachers by now, and instead I got to send a teacher there to teach you all over again. And that's what happens when we stagnate, and we get comfortable in our immaturity. And so he gives a spiritual truth about progression is required, both in our beliefs, who Jesus is, who God is, and also in our practices. We need to continue to grow in those things. And I made the point last week, it requires us to organize our life around the way of Jesus. We need to organize our life around the way of Jesus. So last week he gave us spiritual truth, and this week as we go into Hebrews 6, 1 to 8, he's going to go on, and we will be warned, and we will be encouraged based on that spiritual truth. And people, you say, oh, you know, a warning, oh, God is there with the thunderbolts. No, that's not what a warning is all about. Let's face it, we warn our children not to go running around in the street and playing. We do it because we love them, we care about them, we want them to have a full life. And Jesus gives us these warnings, and he's going to give us encouragement at the same time because he loves us, because he's merciful, because he's filled with grace. He wants the best for us. So don't get scared off by these warnings, necessarily. Be pulled to Jesus. So if I can ask you to stand for this reading, let me pray quickly. Lord God, we ask you now to open up our minds to what we're going to hear. Lord, I pray that we will be able to see your word clearly, that we'll all have our Bibles open and see it for ourselves and be able to react to it, Lord. Lord, soften our heart right now. Whatever we came with, Lord, the things and the worries of this week, or maybe the worries of this morning or this afternoon, take them away from us right now, Lord, so we can hear your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying out of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible. Good thing to have underlined in your Bible. Impossible. For those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful for those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Please be seated. How many of you have ever read or seen some version of A Christmas Carol? Anyone? Pretty hard to live and not know about the Christmas Carol, right? Or A Christmas Carol. But the key scene in the whole thing is when the ghost of Christmas yet to come shows up and shows Scrooge his terrible future that's going to end in death. And he's scared to death by that, and it changes his life. That warning changes his life. And so we pray too for today, because what we read today is the writer of Hebrews' version of A Christmas Carol. It's a terrible warning of the future. And we pray that that warning will be beneficial for us. And if we're on the wrong path, we'll get on the right path. And if we're on the right path, we'll stay on the right path. But before we get started, let's pray. Lord, you accused the people that you were writing to through the writer of Hebrews, that they were dull of hearing and slow to learn. Lord, if that's any of us here today, Lord, I pray that your conviction will come upon whoever that is, Lord, and to get back and to hear and to listen to your word, Lord, react to it with right belief and right practice. And I pray, Lord, too, that those of us who are trying our best to mature, who are listening to your Holy Spirit, that this passage today would give us an extra impetus, Lord, to continue on that path. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what I want to talk about this morning is really four things. The whole book of Hebrews is about falling away or not falling away. That's really what one of the primary purposes of the book is. So I want to talk about for a couple minutes to remind us what falling away is. And I want to talk about the three points made in the verses that we read today. That progression is encouraged in verses 1 to 3. Stagnation and regression is discouraged in verses 4 to 6. And blessing or cursing awaits. That's what's talked about in verses 7 to 8. So the name of my sermon is Make Your Choice Carefully. Make your choice carefully. And the choice may be different than what you think it is. So we'll have to get through the sermon to see what that is. So we want to begin with the idea, what does it mean to fall away? Well, last week I made the point, and from the writer's standpoint, that he was calling us to continually be maturing. And that involves two things for all of us. It's orthodoxy and orthopraxy. Not one or the other, it's both. Orthodoxy is making sure we have the right beliefs about Jesus, about God, about the Holy Spirit, about who we are, about his commands. And orthopraxy is to take what we have learned and put it into good Christian practice. We need both. So we need to be studying and learning and understanding the Word of God. We need to have God's word continually. We need to have a good personal study. We need to be in Sunday service. And we need to be in a small, we don't need to be in a small group, but it's really a good thing to study with other people to make sure we don't get off on beaten tracks and also to get us some accountability in our lives. So living right has to do with in accordance with all this that we learned. It's not just a head game that we're playing here. We are to be learning about Jesus and what he has for us. He has given us life and have it to the full. And so he wants us to live as he outlines. He's our designer. He's the master engineer. He made us, so he knows how we have the greatest life. And it's not to hem us in. It's to give us life and give it to the full. So I want to talk about two seemingly opposing tensions in Scripture, and I want to show you that they're very complementary. First thing is that the warnings about falling away in the Bible, and there's lots of them, are very real. They're written to Christians. They're written to people in the church. They are very real. For example, in addition to the one we had today, we've got Hebrews 3:14. The writer says, we have come to share in Christ if, we got an if-then statement. if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at the first. If we persevere to the end with our orthodoxy and orthopraxy, right belief and right practice, we have come to share in Christ. It's obvious what he's saying is if we don't hold firmly to the end, then we really haven't shared in Christ. That's a warning. It's also an encouragement. And it's because God loves us. And there's all through the Bible these warnings. Because God loves us. He wants us to stay on the right path. But those warnings are real. But at the same time, the promises of eternal security are real too. For example, there's lots and lots of these. 1 Corinthians 1:8. The writer says he means God the Father at this point, will keep you strong to the end. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have on one hand here saying that be careful, people, not to fall away. Be careful. And at the other hand is don't worry. God's going to keep you to the end. And so you start scratching your head. How do I reconcile and both be true at the same time? Well, I think the best way to do that is to realize that it's pretenders who fall away. True Christians heed the warnings. Pretenders fall away. True Christians heed the warnings. Some of us today are going to hear this sermon, are going to read these words of the Bible, and because you are dull of hearing and slow to learn, you'll say, that was interesting. What's for lunch today? Or what do I have to do this afternoon? Or I got to think, I got to focus back on my problems. No, saints, God wants you to take your eyes off of your problems and focus on Him. It's not what is going on in your life. It's what Jesus has already done for you. And by doing that, it'll give you a whole new view on the problems that you have in life. So some of us today will heed these warnings, and some of us will just keep on skating. There's really three kinds of people in the world. There's true Christians, ones that are living by continuing to mature in their beliefs, that are continuing to put to practice what they've learned, who come in closer and closer relationship with Jesus. Those are true Christians. And then we have non-Christians, and there's non-Christians watching today. They're not saying that they're Christians. You might be watching today, you might be here today because someone invited you, your wife wants you to be there, you're interested, maybe you're honestly seeking. But there's no pretense that you're a Christian. And then there's the third group of people, pretenders. These are the people that think they're saved, but really aren't saved. George W. Bush said one time that when he meets world leaders, he just gets to know them. He said he would ask them the question, "What keeps you up at night?" If you were to ask me that question, what keeps me up at night is pretenders. Now, I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. I can't see your hearts. I can't, but I can see fruit, and that gives an indication. And sometimes I get worried about some people. And maybe you're worried about yourself today. There are just too many people that are very comfortable in their immaturity, very comfortable about not reading the Word of God every day, very comfortable not being in a small group, very comfortable not coming to service, and that affects how they live their lives. It does. In 2020, I see a great sifting going on. People are falling away. People who are on the fringes are drifting away and falling away. And I think when this pandemic is over with, we're going to have possibly a lot of those people who leave never to come back. Now, the silver lining that is we're going to have a much stronger church. We're going to have a much stronger church, a better witness. But people, we don't want anyone to, if you're here listening, we want you to hear. We want you to hear, and that's what Jesus wants. He loves you, and he wants to bring you in the fold if you're not in the fold. So make your choice carefully. Pretenders can and do fall away. But in our passage, progression is encouraged in verses 1 to 3. It starts out, therefore, and we talked about why the therefore is there. Let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. We got to get off John 3:16 and Ephesians 2:8 to 9. There's a lot more Bible than just salvation and resurrection of the dead. He goes through those things. He mentions six elementary teachings. Now, we're not going to get into the controversy here because there's a controversy about each of those things. What exactly are they? Are they old? Is he referring to Old Testament? Because remember, he's writing to mostly Jewish Christians. So is he saying you got to get off of this Jewish stuff and get onto the Christian meat? So is this Old Testament stuff that he's talking about, or New Testament, or is it some combination of? Now, if you go to seminary, look into that. But for our purposes today, he's saying move off of elementary teachings of Christ and let's move on. And then he finishes the paragraph in Hebrews 6:3. He says, and God permitting, we will do so. And you might scratch your head, what do you mean, and God permitting? Here's something about studying the Bible. Let clearer passages interpret those that are less clear. Philippians 1:6, I think, is what he's talking about here. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So God is going to be working here. And notice, he said, let us move on. And then he says, God's going to permit. I want you to understand here that there's a cooperation. We are supposed to be cooperating with the Holy Spirit to grow. He's there, but we've got to make some move on our own. So part of the cooperation is listening to these warnings. And so I hope today that what you hear today will jumpstart you, will be a kick in the pants for you to get back to where you need to be. And you might ask, well, why do I need to progress in 2021? Let me read you something that Martin Luther King once wrote, to Dr. Martin Luther King. He said, if I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the Word of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I'm not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. He's saying if you teach all about Scripture except this one point that the devil is attacking at, you're missing it, people. You're missing it, people. And he goes on to say, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. Where the battle is, where the attack is coming from. And to be steady on all the battlefront besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. We need the Word of God to help us at those points where the enemy is attacking. Now, let me ask you, in our culture, do you think the enemy is attacking anywhere? Yeah. Let me just talk about a few of them. Abortion and same-sex marriage, for example. On all of these things, are you able to give a reasoned biblical defense of the Bible's position on each of these? Do you even know what the Bible's position is on each of these items? Sexuality. You know, I have to laugh sometimes when they talk about, you know, some of these very liberal people talk about we got to be people of science. You know, when I take a shower in the morning and I stand in front of the mirror, I can figure out pretty easily if I'm a boy or a girl. Male or female. However, society is trying to tell us, Facebook's trying to tell us, I think we're up to 50-some different genders. Really? Really? Are we able to give a reasoned biblical theological position on this? This is where the enemy is attacking. Are we able to defend our position? Do we even know what our position is? critical race theory. It's all over the place. We're hearing a lot about that now. The question is, is this a competing philosophy to the biblical worldview, or is it a complementary one? We need to be able to answer that question. Black Lives Matter. I'm not talking about the concept of Black Lives Matter. Of course, Black Lives Matter. The question is about the organization, the political organization. Do we as Christians support? Can we read through their mission statement and say, yes, I agree with that. No, I don't. Yes, I do. We need to have a good biblical understanding to be able to make decisions about this. These are real life decisions that are out there. In recreational marijuana and euthanasia. You know, the Democrats have won this last election, have got a bigger majority now. They're emboldened now for recreational marijuana in this session. And euthanasia is still on there. Well, what's our opinion on that? What does God have to say about those things? And lastly, civic engagement of the Christian. How, if at all, do Christians get involved with civics? Not necessarily politics, but with governmental authorities. How involved do we get? Does the Bible even talk about that? And I will tell you, the white evangelical church has a very different answer than the black evangelical church. And since we're a multiracial church, what's our answer? What's your answer? We need to understand the Word of God so we can live our lives in accordance with what's going on in the culture. The culture needs us. We have to move beyond John 3:16 and Ephesians 2:8-9. And if you don't know the answers to these questions, how are your kids going to learn? Because they're being taught. And it's not the Bible that they're necessarily being taught. And we have a responsibility, not only to God, but also as American citizens, to bring the good news. Amen? Amen. So again, pretenders can fall away. Progression is encouraged with God's help. That's good news. So that we can live in our society today. And now stagnation and regression is discouraged. And I think that's kind of the understatement of the day about discouraging. This is one of, if not the most scary warnings in all of Scripture. Let me read it again for you. It is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their laws, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. This is a big deal. Big deal. If you fall away after all of these things, you ain't coming back. If I had to rewrite this, I think we're talking about the unpardonable sin here. This is the unpardonable sin. He's saying it is impossible. This is the Frank Termite version, just so you know. It is impossible for those who have been churched and Christianized to reject Jesus and then repent again. Because it is like they are crucifying Jesus and shaming him once again. Remember, Peter, we've studied the last few weeks in our small groups, that Peter, when he's talking to the Jewish people, he said, you crucified him. And so now the writer's also talking to Jewish people again. And he's saying, if you're in the church and then you go back to Judaism, it's like you're crucifying Jesus all over again. And you ain't coming back. It's as simple as that. And so the question comes up. Impossible. Is that impossible with a period or impossible without the intervention of God? And then I said, you know, if you are deep into Christianity, you've been in the church or you've been Christianized, you've been taught and everything, and you're in deep enough, and then you reject Jesus, you're not coming back. So the question comes up, well, how deep is deep enough in the Christian experience? And those, both of those questions, I'm going to answer them by saying it's kind of like this. If I'm hiking and I'm on this path that takes me near the side of a cliff, and the cliff goes down 2,000 feet, and I see a pile of loose rocks on the edge, and I sit there saying, I wonder how many times I could jump on those rocks before I fall down the cliff. Who cares? You don't jump on a pile of rocks on the side of a cliff. And don't worry about impossible and the Christian. Don't go near these things. He's calling us to maturity. These are controversial verses. And in fact, I've read up to 7 different meanings of these verses. 7 different meanings, but they can be put into 3 categories. 1, it's actual Christians losing their salvation. And again, because of all the verses about Christ not losing anyone, I would disagree with that. I don't believe that that's what he's talking about here. Secondly, some say it's a hypothetical situation. It can't happen. But the problem with that is, in the church that this letter is being written to, it is happening. It is happening. It's not hypothetical. So I think, and this is why I go with, it's pretenders who eventually reject Jesus. That's who he's talking about here. People who have been thoroughly immersed into Christianity, possibly over a long period of time, and then fallen away. Then fallen away. 1 John 2:19 says this, talking about people just like this. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. And if you look in verse 5:16 of 1 John, it tells them there's a sin that you don't even pray for. I think this is the sin he's talking about. People who have been thoroughly immersed and then fall away, they're not coming back, people. Don't even pray for them, it says. Scary stuff. But you can also look in Matthew 12, 22 to 37. That's where it talks about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and that's where the idea of the unpardonable sin comes from. Same deal here. Pharisees have seen Jesus. They know the Word of God backwards, inside, and forward. They've seen Jesus with miracles. They've heard his teachings. And they say, nah, he's not the Messiah. Where are they going? And all of these seem to have, it's not enough that these people fall away. They're trying to get others to join them. So teaching, being influencers, being religious leaders seem to be also part of this unpardonable sin formula. So again, pretenders can't fall away. However, progression is encouraged with God's help. But be careful, pretenders. There's no way back if you fall away. Progress to maturity is encouraged. Stagnation, regression, that could lead to falling away, is very much discouraged. Make your choice carefully how you're going to listen to this sermon today. Make your choice carefully. Now he ends it with a contrasting parable. Parable talks about rain falling on 2 different kinds of land. Rain that falls on the same rain, 2 different kinds of land. When it falls on this land, a crop that is profitable comes up. When the rain falls on this land, thorns and thistles, things that may be rejected, that have no use, and they're ready to be burned, and they will be burned. Saints, he's talking about hell here. This is a parable of, it's kind of like a sermon illustration. It's taking something that they would understand from the natural and applying it to the spiritual. Rain, 2 lands, 2 crops. In the spiritual, both types of people are being Christianized. One produces kingdom fruit, the other not. One is blessed, the other is cursed. He talks about burning. It reminds us, too, of the unfruitful soils of Matthew 13. In that parable, Jesus talks about the word of God going out and falling on four different lands. But only one of the lands, only one of the soils, excuse me, comes up with a crop 30, 60, 100-fold. The other three soils produce for a little while, but then they all end. And the reason that is given in that parable is trouble and persecution. And that's exactly what the Hebrews are going through right now. The Jewish Christians are being persecuted for their faith. Apparently, their society and the Jewish people, they're being excluded, so it's hurting them. It's causing them. It's been going on for a long time. And so trouble and persecution, they want to go back. Let's end this whole thing and go back to Old Testament Judaism and reject Jesus, and we'll take the high priest we have. And the whole book of Hebrews saying, no, it's a terrible idea. You can't do that. We don't have a lot of trouble and persecution because we're Christians here. I'm not saying we don't have any, but it's pretty minor. But what gets us is the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. Those are the things that can make us unfruitful. The worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. But here's the problem. The problem is when we take our eyes off of Jesus and all he's done for us and focus on our problems and the issues in this world. That's where we go wrong. Trouble, persecution, worries of this life, and deceitfulness of wealth. And so, saints, you were bought at a price. That's what the Word of God says. And I read an article, and I think we put it in Facebook, on Facebook this week, and it talks about evaluating Jesus' investment in you. You were bought at a price. It was expensive. We're gonna do communion in a little while. We're going to celebrate it, and we're going to remember the costly price that Jesus paid so that we could have life and have it to the full. We're going to remember that. Well, how have we responded? As we look back on 2020 and look ahead to 2021 and want to make some changes, was Jesus cherished last year, and will he be this year? Were parents, your parents honored in a Christian way? Was your spouse loved in such a way that she grew closer to Jesus because of you, husbands? Wives, did you submit to your husband's leadership? Spouses, kill it where your kids trained, not by the church. Driving them to church is a great thing, but God calls parents to make sure you're teaching your kids about Jesus. How did you do with the least of these? The hungry, the thirsty, the strangers, those needing clothing, the sick and imprisoned. Can you do something different in 2021? The disciples made. Who is closer to receiving Jesus Christ as Savior because of you? Who did you lead to Jesus as Savior? Who did you help lead to Jesus as Savior? Worked in combination in the church, possibly. Who is growing up in their faith because of you? Is there someone you need to reconcile with? Did you reconcile with people last year? When you messed up, did anybody mess up last year at all? Yeah, maybe. How did you do with reconciliation? We should be the most forgiving people in the world because we've been forgiven of all of our sins. Have we been generous to the church? Are we going to be generous next year? Have we been generous to others in need? And do we have an ongoing ministry? Do we have an ongoing ministry with brothers and sisters in Christ? These are tough questions. These are tough questions. But this is the kind of fruit that believers who are maturing have. You know, so many men tell me, hey, what do you want from me, Pastor? I go to work, I provide a good income, I put food on the table, and they got a house. You know, isn't that enough? Well, the atheist next door will say the same thing. Fruit is what God is looking for. There's more. There's more. So make your choice carefully. Are you going to be dull of hearing, or are you going to react to what you heard today? Are you going to heed the warning? Because pretenders do fall away. You don't want to be one of them. Progression is encouraged, and God is waiting here to help you grow. And remember, if you fall away after you've been in the church for a while, and I don't know what a while means, you may never come back. And blessing or cursing awaits. This is an eternal. And God wants only one thing from you. He wants you to progress. He wants you to progress. John 8:12, Jesus says this, "I am the light of the world." Jesus shines brightly. He says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, the light of life." And so God wants us to continue to work in or grow in our orthodoxy and orthopraxy, and he's going to be complimenting any time you take a step forward, he's going to push you ahead two steps. That's just who he is. And so I want to finish the sermon with the advice to three groups of people that I talked about first. First, to the pretender. If you are comfortable in your stagnation or your immaturity or your lack of fruit and you're drifting away, you know, you're not in your small group anymore, don't have time for it, you're not able to find time to read your Bible and to study, you're not able to get to Sunday service, you're starting to have doubts about some of the things, is there really a hell? You're in the danger zone. You are in the danger zone. And God is speaking to you today through his word. My advice to you is revisit the gospel. Revisit the good news. Don't be pointing to something that, you know, when I was a kid, I walked the sawdust trail and I got baptized. Did you really receive Jesus as Savior? Or is those words and some dead act that you did? Revisit the gospel and make sure you understand what Jesus wants for you and the immensity of what he has done for you. And today, if you are truly a pretender, I hope this verse literally scares the hell out of you. Literally. Come to Jesus once and for all. And next, for the non-Christian, I just want you to know that Christianity is a lifelong growth that God empowers. There's an adventure that you and God will get on when you receive Jesus as Savior. So this is not just saying a prayer, getting baptized, and going on with the rest of your life. This is life change. God wants to give you a life you can't even believe you ever imagined. It's going to be much better. And for the true Christian, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, listen to him today. If you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that's a good thing. If you feel convicted about what you heard, that's a great thing. It means the Holy Spirit is alive in you. And remember, God permits. God permits. He's going to be there working with you. And this little kick in the pants today, or big kick in the pants, that's how he's cooperating. That's how he's permitting. He's loving you today. 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul writes to his understudy, he says, "Be diligent. Give yourself wholly to the Christian life, and everyone will see your progress." You know, you don't have to put on a show for anybody. If you're living the Christian life, people know it. Fruit will abound. It will. People will know. They'll see a difference in you. You don't have to try and show them. It'll just happen. Follow the light of Jesus. And what makes us want to do that? It's when we remember. We'll remember what Jesus did for us. Remember our plight. So we're gonna have communion now. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Russell's going to come up after I pray and lead us. But I want to encourage you to follow the light of Jesus. Remember, progress. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, you love us. You love us so much you sent your Son. And we want to remember that today, Lord. We want to remember the costly sacrifice you made for us so that we might have life and have it to the full. Lord, be with us now. May the words of Russell that reflect on your scripture pierce our souls to remind us, Lord, and compel us to want to be more mature in you. In Jesus' name we pray.